All right, hi everybody, and welcome to Lecture 90 in this American History program of History at Our House for the elementary class. We are going to do the new Facts Practice 3A. So those of you who have that ready to go, we're going to do that now. And if you have the old one, or you made a mistake or printed the wrong one, that's fine. Just go ahead and do what you've got. But today and tomorrow, we're going to do Facts Practice 3A, the new one. And I'm only going to give you 2 minutes to do it. Patrick has done it more than once, and he has managed to do it both times in less than 2 minutes. So he is ready to go. Hopefully you guys are too. So I'm going to go ahead and share my screen with the stopwatch. And we're going to go ahead and do this 2 minute exercise. Let's see here. I noticed that perhaps there was a question or a problem. Nemo, what's up?
Nothing.
Oh, okay. Well, put your hand down then. All right. So, simple as on your mark. Of course, remember, just a reminder, if you're on the recordings, you do it too, please. You can pause the recordings and join us and do it too. Okay, here we go. On your mark, get set, go. All right, that's the 2 minute mark. Hopefully you were able to do it. Good luck with your continued practice. I'm sure you'll master it soon. And then next week we'll have a slightly modified version. I think we'll probably have one that's kind of out of order. So it makes it a little bit harder for you to do. Because one of the things you can do on this facts practice, you can kind of learn to do it in a certain order. And in a way, it's a little bit of a way of cheating because you start to kind of remember a pattern instead of the facts. But that's okay. It's not that big of a deal. And I know also that when I ask Patrick questions, he usually gets them pretty well with regard to these facts. So maybe we'll do a little bit of a quick test in class as well just to see how you guys are doing, and I can give you some further advice about it. But anyway, let's get on with our goal here of talking about the rise of the world that we live in, the way that things are today. And that has a lot to do with America's decision to become the world police power. And in particular, as world police power, to police the region known as the Middle East. And so everybody knows what's coming, because I warned you yesterday at the end of class. Why did America decide to police the Middle East? Three-part answer, and everybody's hand is going up. So, Dana, give me one of the reasons.
Because of the oil that they have.
All right, that's kind of reason number three, kind of out of order. Okay, but that's okay. And let's see here, Patrick, what's another reason?
They wanted to stop Russia from spreading.
Spreading what? What was it that
communism.
Russia would spread? Communism, very good. Okay, what doctrine said to do that, to prevent the spread of communism?
The Truman Doctrine.
Of what year?
1947.
Oh, see, that's what we're talking about there. We got a facts practice master who knows that those exact facts when he's asked that question. Yes?
124 years after the other doctrine.
Oh, the other one, the Monroe Doctrine. Very good. Yes, that's sometimes worth remembering. Okay, good. So that's the main reason that we talked about. And then Dana gave us one as well, which is to secure access to oil. We're going to come back to that in a minute. So let's see. What was the other one? Wyatt or Henry?
Is Wyatt here?
Mm-hmm.
Well, to protect Israel.
To protect the new nation of Israel. Okay, hands down, everybody. Why? What was special or important about this new country of Israel? Why did the United States decide, this is something that we should do? Because the United States didn't go, for instance, and when communist Russia was formed, the United States didn't say, oh, we should go help them. but when Israel was formed, the Americans said we should help them. So what was the difference? Rosetta?
I think it was that because in World War II they had the Holocaust. Mm. And I think
Oh, you were on the right track there, so I know you're trying to formulate your thoughts. Yes, part of it was because of the Holocaust. We talked about the fact that in World War II, 6 million Jewish people were killed by the Nazis. And yes, this was something that the Americans were very upset about. They looked at that and they knew that Europe was a place where there was very little religious tolerance throughout history. And so they believed that it would be a good solution for Jewish people to have their own country. That's right. Especially after World War II. And as it turns out, it was going to be a democracy as well. We know that that was something that has been important to American presidents ever since Woodrow Wilson said, we want to make the world safe for democracy. And so we'll see that, as it turns out, it was the only one that was really democratic in that entire area. So that was kind of an important fact as well. And then Dana said the securing access to oil. Okay, so what's so important about oil? What's so important about oil? Boy, I tell you, this is an important question. Because nowadays people have a lot of, well, ideas that are, they don't view oil very positively, but it's kind of strange because they don't know history, I think. Walker, what's so important about oil?
They needed the oil for their ships.
Is this Allison?
Yes.
Oh, thank you, Allison. Oh, so nice to hear your voice. Usually it's Walker chiming in. Yes, right. Okay. What's so important about oil? Oil is the blood of industrial machinery. If you don't have oil, it doesn't function, right? It powers, it is fuel for all of the incredible inventions that we rely upon, including our cars, right? And huge amounts of it are found in the Middle East. So now, when I say that, and I keep coming back to this idea of the Middle East, it occurs to me that we are not necessarily, I mean, I know that I am, but not necessarily everyone knows exactly what I mean by the Middle East. So, let me help you out with that a little bit further here. I'm going to go ahead. If you type in map Middle East or the Middle East into Google, this is what comes up. Okay, you get a map. And this is what comes up. And I just want you to kind of notice. It's a region of the world. And when the map comes up, what you'll notice about it is there's kind of a thick border around from here, you know, around this part, down to here. Around. Now, I'm being very rough in my sketch now, right? Because I don't have the time to do it. But, you know, this is what they're calling on Google the Middle East. Okay, so now, as it turns out, the definition of what the Middle East is, it depends sometimes. So, for instance, some people would say that Afghanistan is part of the Middle East, or that Libya is part of the Middle East, or Sudan. I mean, there's different ideas. But this is kind of the core of what people mean by the Middle East. And it's a very strange term in a way, especially for people who don't know history. Why is this part of the world called the Middle East? Sure looks like in the middle on this map, but the Middle East? Dana, go ahead.
It's in the middle of the eastern side of the earth.
The eastern side of the earth? Huh, interesting. What is the eastern side of the earth? Is there such a thing, really?
I didn't really mean to say the earth.
No, that's okay, because it's, you know, I think you are actually trying to say that, although maybe you're a little bit afraid of saying it, but it's fine to try to say it. But is there such a thing as the eastern half of the earth or the eastern side of the earth? Nemo might be able to tell us that. Nemo?
Well, when the Europeans discovered China, the Middle East was in the middle of the planet.
Okay, so you're getting closer to the answer, but you decided to skip my question. Patrick, you want to answer this question? Is there such a thing as the eastern part of the earth?
Well, no, though I think maybe since it's between Africa and Europe that's on the east side, maybe that's why it's called.
Oh, okay, that's interesting. And again, just like Nemo, you're getting into this idea of it being relative. East and west are what? Are they parts of the earth? Abby?
No, they're just directions.
They're directions. You can have a compass anywhere in the world, and it will point west, or it'll point north, right? And you'll know what direction is east or west from where you are. But west and east are directions, right? So why is this part of the world called east? And why is it only called, why is it called, strangely, Middle East? Well, it has to do with that topic that we started off right at the beginning of the year. It has to do with globalization. How can a part of the world have its name because of globalization? Nemo, you were on the right track. Patrick was sort of on the right track. Can you kind of see how globalization gave this region its name? Can you guess what that means? I'm going to help you guys out with this one. How did that happen? Well, I'm going to ask you, first of all, who enacted globalization? Who did it? Who is it that connected all of the different cultures of the world together? You can answer that in a lot of different ways, but Abby, take a shot.
Well, one person I would think would be Christopher Columbus.
Okay, as an individual, I would agree with you. That would be the single most responsible individual. But I want a different kind of an answer. Can anybody guess what kind of answer I'm looking for here? Walker or Allison?
Well, maybe Europe?
Yes, that's the answer I was looking for. Good. Right. Europeans did it. Columbus was one of them. Ferdinand Magellan, who first circumnavigated the globe, was another one. Portuguese explorer Vasco da Gama was another one. Yeah, so they were Europeans. And so, if you look on the world, let's see here, can I go to a... Oh, wait, I gotta stop annotating. Okay, goodbye, Middle East. All right, so now if I click on the map here, and we zoom out, ooh, that's quite close, isn't it? All right, so there we go. Or maybe a little bit further. Can we go further? Yeah, sort of. All right, the map is taking a little while to get in here. I want to zoom out even more, but it's not easy to do, right? When they did globalization, we know, thanks to our story of Columbus, where, oh, look at that, get in my way. Where did the people of Europe over here, oh, tedious, where did they want to go? We know where Columbus wanted to go, right, Abby?
China.
Which is what direction, as far as they're concerned?
East.
East, yeah, exactly. This is east to them in most people's thinking, right? Is it just east? Here's a good geography puzzle for you guys. Who's the genius who said, hey, guess what? It's not just east. East and west are just two different ways of looking at the same thing, folks. Wyatt?
Well, you could go west and reach the same place.
Yeah, exactly. So, in fact, if Columbus had named the continents of the world, he would have called America the Middle West. Think about that for a second, right? Because he would have said, China is the far west, because we're going west. And what's in the way? America. So we're going to call that place the Middle West. Ah, that never stuck, did it? All right, so now mostly the idea that Asia is east kind of stuck because it was Europeans thinking of it that way mainly. And this was in the middle, so this is the Middle East. This is the Far East because it's further away, and this is the Middle East. All right, so globalization is what led to the naming of the different regions of the world. The people who did it are the ones who got to make the names. Not everybody's too happy about those particular names. All right, but it's that's how it happened. All right, so now we have this place called the Middle East. Now what we need to talk about is, well, we know three reasons why the United States decided to start policing this part of the world. Now what we still have is one more basic kind of question to answer in order to complete our history. Right? The reason why we study history is to understand the world that we live in. Not to understand the past. We don't live in the past. There's no point in knowing about something that doesn't exist anymore. We are living here. We are going to live our lives here. We have to make our choices here. We have to have the best life that we can have now. So this is the place we want to live in. And we want to understand the past because it helps us to do that. Okay, so we're not living in the time when the United States made its decision to police the Middle East. We are living in the time of the consequences of that decision. The outcome, in a sense, you could say, what has happened because of that. And, well, that's called the War on Terror. All right, so we still have something that we need to learn. We need to learn how did this situation where the United States decided to police the Middle East lead to the War on Terror? Or War on Terror is short for War on Terrorism. So that's where we need to put our focus. So today's class is in part about this, the rise of, as I put the title of the class was, the rise of terrorism. Okay, so, and we know this from our anchor fact, right, of 9/11. This is terrorism. This is the ultimate symbol of terrorism. What is it? What is terrorism? Abby?
It's when people attack other people and other places without actually really being in a war, but just such as bombings and suicide bombings and those sorts of things, that they'll go and attack people in places like the 9/11, the attacks on the World Trade Towers in 9/11.
Okay. So, yeah.
Without much notice at all.
Okay. So, yeah, it has to do with attacks, or it has to do with, we could say, violence. Walker, what would you want to add to that?
I would like to say that, well, terrorism is a thing, well, where they're trying to scare regular people into forcing the government into doing what the terrorists want.
Oh, yeah, that's very good what you noticed about terrorism. Terrorism is about creating terror. Terror means, what's a synonym for terror? Fortunately, you've probably never felt terror in your life. Nemo, go ahead.
Fear.
Fear, right? Terror is a great fear. Okay, so what is terrorism? Terrorism is a form of violence that is designed to strike fear in people. Exactly. So this is an example right in front of us. What you see, right, the attacks of 9/11 were people that we call terrorists who got on board of planes, like everybody loves to do in America every day in regular life. Men, women, children, families that get on planes, they go and they travel and they do wonderful things, have vacations, visit their family. So what happened was these attackers got on board the planes in groups, pretending to be just like everybody else. And then they forced their way into the cockpits. And then they used these planes to destroy the World Trade Center. Use them to attack people in their normal daily lives. Okay. So, Patrick, go ahead.
Why did they attack?
Why did they attack? Well, this is our question. What is terrorism? And Walker has helped us in part with the idea that a terrorist is somebody who wants to terrorize the people in this building, all the people that are looking at this photograph and watching it, the people that get on board airplanes, all of them being Americans. Why? Why? Walker now has also given us an important part of that answer. Continue, Walker. What was that thing that you said about the reason for wanting to terrorize people?
I said that terrorists are trying to get the people into forcing the government to do what the terrorists want because they're so scared that they would give up probably anything just to get rid of the terrorists.
Okay. And the question is, what did these terrorists want? What do terrorists from the Middle East want? The people who got on these planes and attacked the United States were terrorists from the Middle East. So what did they want to do? They wanted to terrorize Americans, make them really afraid, and get them to do what? Nemo?
Follow their religion.
Well, we will get to that. Not necessarily. You might say that in the end, yes. But the most immediate thing that they wanted to do was to get Americans to tell their government to stop following a certain doctrine. The presidents of the United States have recommended to the government we should act in a certain way. That includes controlling the Middle East. The people of the Middle East, not all, but some, don't want that. So, the purpose of these terrorist attacks is, as Walker has said, to frighten Americans, to terrorize them, and to get them to do what people do when they are afraid. When you are afraid of something, or let's say you are afraid of a person, what do you do with, you know, in relation to that person when you're afraid of them? It's pretty straightforward, right? When animals are afraid of each other, or when you're afraid of an animal or another person, what do, Abby?
You usually try to get away from them.
Yeah, you avoid them. You avoid them and you run away. Only in very rare circumstances, Dana, do you attack if you don't have any other choice. Now, that's very interesting what you said, Dana, because the choice to attack, well, some people might choose to attack, but we have to get to that in a little while here. But usually the response of being afraid of something is to stay away from it, to go away. And that is the main idea of terrorism, is to get America to go away. Because when you're afraid, you go away, you stay away. So the message here to America is, we don't want you to police our part of the world. Now, whether or not they want something else in the end and so on, having to do with religion, we'll see. Yes, that is a very interesting point. Okay, but the main starting point here is the desire to use this type of violence against Americans to get them to stop following the Truman Doctrine. And later, basically, the idea of policing the Middle East. Okay, now, when America started to police the Middle East, interestingly, mostly people there felt positive about it. Or at least many people did. Because we know that the main reason for policing the Middle East was what? Number one reason. Patrick?
To stop Russia from spreading communism.
To stop communism. And the people of the Middle East didn't want communism either. Here, for instance, is the king of Persia having a nice evening with President Harry Truman, who made the Truman Doctrine. And here's the king of Persia. He was the ruler of Iran, the country of Iran today. And they're having a nice time together. Here is the king of Saudi Arabia having a nice sit down with President Theodore Roosevelt a little earlier. Not Theodore, Franklin Delano Roosevelt of the United States a little bit earlier. They were allies, getting along, as you can see, all laughing and having a good time. Okay, they liked having the United States protect them from communism. At least at first. And at least some of them. So, yeah, helping them to resist communism was something relatively positive. But just like Americans having different reasons for wanting to police the Middle East, the people of the Middle East had different reasons for liking or disliking what America was doing. They might like the idea of resisting communism, but they might dislike other things. So, this is what brings us to the impact of America making the decision to help Israel. So, to begin to talk about the idea of the rise of terrorism, one of the things that we do need to talk about, I don't particularly like this map, I like this one, is America deciding to help Israel. So, remember, now Israel, where is it on this? This is the Middle East, and Israel is in the Middle East. Let me just highlight it for you. Because it's so small, you need it to be highlighted. This is Israel right here. This little sliver right here. Okay, that's Israel. And we know that it was formed in 1948. We know that it was formed by Jewish people after the Holocaust, and that the United States wanted to help. Okay, so the question that we're going to have to ask ourselves and figure out the answer to next time is, How did this contribute to the people in this whole area disliking having America as a police power? That will be a part of our answer. Nobody here, almost nobody, let's put it that way, almost nobody here wanted communism. So if America was protecting the people here from communism, wouldn't that make them happy? You would think so. But, like I said, it was not the only thing on their minds. The question of having a country here called Israel was very much on their minds as well. And for the United States to help the country of Israel became one of the reasons why people started to attack the United States with terrorism. All right, I'm going to just leave that as an introduction to this. Just kind of set it up for you, and we will enter into a closer look as to how this happened tomorrow, because basically we're out of time. Okay? So you may know already or may have some sense, which is good. And I look forward to talking with you about it tomorrow. So again, we will do Facts Practice 3A again tomorrow, and then we'll pick up here with this issue of America policing the Middle East for different reasons and how those contributed to the rise of modern terrorism. Okay, folks, that's it. Thank you. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.